We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
April is going to be a crucial month on the recruiting trail for Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks. And we're going to talk about it on today's episode of the Ducks Dish Podcast. And we're back like we never left. Oregon fans, what's going on? How we living? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Ducks Dish Podcast. It is Monday, April 1st, 2024, coming to you from Campbell, California. Glad to have you guys along. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Max Torres, and we're talking some Oregon football recruiting today. And we are also going to get into one of my more interesting questions about what Oregon's team is going to look like in 2024 with spring football set to resume on Tuesday as Dan Lanning and the Ducks go pedal to the metal for the month of April in spring practice out in Eugene. So, recruiting, it never stops. We all know that. Recruiting is the lifeblood of any program, but it has been pretty slow. Things have been pretty slow as far as Oregon football recruiting goes. So I think a lot of fans are probably out there saying, when are we going to get our next commit? What's going on? We're seeing USC and some of these other teams go crazy with these recruiting runs. I know USC has been getting a lot of commits lately. Syracuse has been getting a lot of commits. Ohio State is red hot on the recruiting trail. So I kind of just want to talk about the month of April and why it's going to be so important for Dan Lanning and the Ducks, particularly as it pertains to the 2025 recruiting class. Oregon currently has the number 25 class in the country for 2025, according to the 247 Sports rankings. And it's going to be a big month because spring football is going on, and you're going to be able to have a lot of high-profile visitors coming through Eugene, getting to build those relationships with the coaches, with the recruiting staffers, personnel, with players on the team, some of them getting their first look at Eugene. I mean, one of the guys that I think I'm excited for Oregon to host is the number 4 player, I want to say, in the 2026 recruiting. Actually, no, it might be the number 1 player in the 2026 class. And that is defensive lineman Jakeem Stewart out of Louisiana. He's going to be one of many, many star-studded visitors at Oregon's annual spring game on April 27th. But that's the basic point, is that Oregon's going to be able to host a lot of top targets, many of them on return trips, some of them their first trip out to Eugene. And really, April's big because it sets the foundation, I think, or maybe rather it builds on what's already a strong foundation for this staff with a lot of their top recruits here in the 2025 class. Because remember those two junior day weekends that Oregon had? You had some seriously talented guys, really highly rated recruits, top targets coming through Eugene. And, you know, some people might say, oh, well, there wasn't a commitment, so why do I care? Or my favorite one that I see lately is commitments don't mean anything. You know, let me know when they sign or let me know when they get to campus. But I've personally never been able to take that approach because recruiting is very fluid. And I'm around a lot of these top players, and I love telling the story about how Oregon got on their radar and why they chose Oregon, and then seeing them turn into stars like Troy Franklin, for example. He was a guy who I interviewed coming out of high school, and then he had the career that he did at Oregon. So going to be fun to see where he lands in the NFL draft. If we just look at the 2024 class, right, you know, rewind the clock about a year ago, I put out a tweet yesterday at MTorres Sports on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. That's where you can find me. I put out a tweet yesterday talking about how Oregon has landed some pretty significant recruits in the month of April. If you're looking at the 2024 class, the Ducks were able to land commitments from four players. You had safety Aaron Flowers out of Texas. He was an All-American recruit in the 2024 class for the Ducks. You also had Trent Ferguson, an in-state lineman out of the Salem area. Teon Gray out of Missouri, who flipped his commitment from the Missouri Tigers. And then you also had quarterback Luke Moga out of Phoenix, Arizona, Sunny Slope High School. He committed the day after the spring game, I want to say. And that's really what April is ultimately leading up to, right, is the spring game, Oregon's marquee recruiting event of the year. That is going to be the biggest visit weekend for Dan Lanning and the Ducks the whole year. I mean, even you could argue that it's even more impactful and a bigger list of top prospects than any game that they're going to have in the fall. But I don't know. I feel like I'm almost not as confident in saying that because they're moving to the Big Ten. So their games are going to have even more of a draw once they're playing Big Ten opponents. So they're building on this strong foundation. That was a point that I wanted to circle back to. A lot of these guys have already visited Oregon for the first time, and I feel like the formula has kind of been get a guy out for an unofficial visit, then another unofficial visit, and then you try to seal the deal really on that official visit. And that's what's going to happen with a lot of these guys. I think one name that I'm increasingly telling my followers, listeners, readers to keep an eye on is Cooper Perry, a 2025 wide receiver out of the state of Arizona. He has already been to Oregon numerous times, and he's got two more trips scheduled in the month of April before he takes his official visit with the Ducks in June. So if you just kind of operate from that kind of standard framework, if we will, that's not necessarily the recipe for every single recruit. But basically, from what I've seen covering this team on the recruiting trail since 2018, that's really what they like to do. Two unofficials and then an official, and hopefully get them on board. Then you get them back on campus for a visit during the season to see a game. And then they hopefully sign that dotted line when the time comes in December. And you can kind of just have things wrapped up. So not only does Oregon need to get some momentum going this month, but they probably will get momentum going this month. That's just typically how it goes, that when you see April be a big month for when things kind of get popping. And that really just generates into, or kind of parlays into, recruiting momentum in May, in June, in July. And then, hey, fall camp is here in August, and then the season starts in September, and Oregon should, if history shows us anything, Oregon should have a majority of their 2025 recruiting class wrapped up by the time the season comes around. And it's kind of wild to say that because they only have four commits right now. And one of my next points on my little handy dandy rundown here, just off to the side of me, you guys can't see it here, but if you're watching on YouTube at Oregon Football Max Torres, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. My next point here, I'm sure that Oregon would love to respond to this little run that USC is going on. I know one of my subscribers the other day, they asked me a question in the live chat saying kind of what's going on, like nothing's going on with Oregon and USC is going on this crazy run. I think USC has the number 10 class in the country, according to 247 Sports, headlined, of course, by five-star Georgia natives Justice Terry, who's a defensive lineman, and Julian Lewis out of Carrollton, Georgia, the quarterback. We'll see if he's going to stay committed to Georgia, to USC. I personally think he's probably going to end up at Georgia, but timing plays a huge role. And I don't think that just because we're not seeing a lot of commitments right now for the Ducks, that that's any reason for the coaching staff, for the fans to lose any faith in the coaching staff. If we know one thing about Dan Lanning, it's that he's going to have that energy for sure, but the dude knows how to recruit. He just helped the Ducks sign their best recruiting class in program history. So, and then you also have Marshall Malko running things as the chief of staff, doing a heck of a job. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had a handful or one or two guys that are ready to commit right now, but maybe they told them, hey, hold off a little bit, you know, let's wait until we get to this week or this weekend. Maybe you have a couple of big visitors coming into town and someone's like, you know, silently committed. And then you say, hey, go ahead and have your moment and do it now, because momentum is so, so crucial. We see it all the time, right? You see what USC is doing. You see what Syracuse is doing with Fran Brown. I'm really excited to see what the recruiting upside is there for the Orange in the ACC. And then you see what Ohio State's doing. That is huge. And I don't think that all of those guys, when they made their decisions and, you know, posted their announcements, what I'm saying is I don't think that they decided right then and there, hey, now I want to commit. I'm sure they told the staff a while ago, hey, I'm ready to hop in. And then the staff told them, hey, let's go ahead and do it now. So I think when you see a conference rival like USC heating up on the recruiting trail, I bet that Dan Lanning wants to deploy a counterpunch of sorts, because you haven't really seen Oregon go against USC for a lot of big time recruits. You do see Oregon and USC in these top groups or these final groups, but for guys that are down to top three, top two, you really don't see Oregon and USC going head to head all that often. But like I talked about on a recent episode of the show, I think Lincoln Riley is doing the right things as far as just trying to get away from this reliance on the transfer portal and build his program more organically. And some of these results show that there is a very good response to that coaching staff that he has put together, particularly on the defensive line, or the defensive side of the ball, rather, with a guy like Eric Henderson coming in from the Rams, from the Los Angeles Rams. So Oregon wants to respond to that USC recruiting run, and I think it is probably closer than a lot of Oregon fans think, even though it has been such a slow run here, recently at least, for the Ducks on the recruiting trail, especially after you lose that commitment from Adrian Wilson. One of the positions I want to focus on here for Oregon in the 2025 recruiting class is safety, because the Ducks are going after some really, really elite safeties, but they don't have any safeties in the fold just yet. And I think that safety is one of those positions where Oregon probably, I think they really need to continue to apply the pressure, because they've got some really good guys in recent years, right? Since Chris Hampton came over from Tulane and took over the safety spot. Now he was also the co-defensive coordinator, and now he's the defensive backs coach. But they got Aaron Flowers in the 2024 class. They got Kingston Lopa in the 2024 class as well. And then if you're looking at 2023, the Ducks were able to get Cody DeCambra and why am I forgetting this other guy's name? Tyler Turner in the 23 class. So you have some guys that are, they were highly touted recruits. They came from areas that play really good football, good competition, but you haven't necessarily seen them break through. And Oregon hasn't had a truly top flight elite safety since Javon Holland. And I'm not saying that every safety that comes through Oregon has to be a Javon Holland. Look at Verone McKinley. Look at Verone McKinley and what he was able to do for the Ducks. Look at Bennett Williams and Evan Williams. They were solid for the Ducks, but maybe not game changers. Brian Addison, he spent a couple years at Oregon, started as an athlete and opened his college career as a wide receiver before finding his home on the back end of the defense. And heck, he was one of the more effective safeties that you saw when he was available, that is, for Oregon. But he missed a majority of the season and then opted to enter the portal, and now he's playing for Chip Kelly and the Bruins. So safety recruiting is going to be a fun one to follow for the Ducks here, because I feel like Chris Hampton is one of those guys that's maybe been lurking behind the scenes a little bit here for Oregon as they've ascended as a defensive power here in the 2023 season and really took a big step with Dan Lanning and Tosh Lapoy and Tony Tuioti. I mean, there's just countless guys that you can point to as far as taking the Ducks to that next level as a defense. And Chris Hampton, I think, is one of them that kind of flies under the radar and maybe doesn't get talked about quite enough. And he's got his sights set on some pretty talented safeties here in the 25 cycle, right? Just to hit on a couple of them, Trey McNutt out of Cleveland, Ohio, Shaker Heights. He is the number one safety in the country, according to 247 Sports, the number 23 player nationally and the number two player out of the state of Ohio. He is one of the many, many recruits that the Ducks hosted during those junior day events. So they do have some momentum there. I don't necessarily think that Oregon's the front runner for Trey McNutt, but he had glowing things to say when I interviewed him after his visit. I just think that if you're going to recruit a guy from Ohio, you got to be ready to recruit against the Buckeyes, as Ryan Day and that staff hardly ever let guys leave that state without a battle. You know that he wants them playing their college football in the Shoe. Another guy that recently visited is Washington, D.C. Gonzaga safety Kainoa Winston. And I want to say I saw a picture of him on his visit out to Oregon, and that one kind of flew under the radar because I hadn't heard a whole lot about him. But it looks like he was also recently at Ohio State. So again, you see some carryover there, some overlap. He's going to be taking his official visit to Oregon the weekend of June 14th through the 16th. So really good for Oregon to have some of these top targets already locked in for official visits. I think that kind of goes back to my previous point about why April is important, because you're just going to take that momentum in April and parlay it into May and then June for some of these official visits. And I think a point that's worth making here is that official visits are happening. Thought I was going to cough there. Official visits are happening earlier and earlier.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Getting a little sip of coffee here, but I think the earlier you can get a guy on campus for an official visit, the better, because it probably just shows you that his interest in the Ducks or his interest in the respective program is that much more real. So maybe check out Kainoa Winston and give him a follow on social media. He's at Kainoa Winston out of the DC area. Gonzaga College High School is actually where Caleb Williams, the USC quarterback, played his college ball. So, the DC area is one that Oregon has been increasingly prioritizing, or just the DMV area rather, with guys like Ife Obadegwu and Dejon Dink Riggs, the running back in 24, coming out of that area before they signed with the Ducks in the 2024 class. So just trying to look at what other safeties I think are important to keep an eye on. Anquan Feagans is another safety, four-star guy out of Alabaster, Alabama, Thompson High School. He's a guy who has been to Oregon a couple times, but maybe not a guy that is really a top target or someone that you feel really confident about Oregon necessarily landing. Tay Harris out of Cedartown, Georgia. He's actually committed to Clemson, but recently got an Oregon offer before making that call. So, you know, there's a long time to go here between now and signing day. The Ducks recently landed in the top five for Parkview Magnet High School safety Amarian Robinson out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And he's another guy that made his way out to Eugene in January. So I think he's someone to keep an eye on. Ryland Dillard Allen out of Mountain Point High School in Phoenix. We know Oregon's done a really good job recruiting the state of Arizona. So I would be showing you guys their film if I was at home in Long Beach and had my monitor to the side of me, but I just got this one computer, just got this one screen. So it's one that you're going to have to bear with me just a little bit. But yeah, I think that's kind of the point I was going to make there, because you look at Oregon in this upcoming season, and I think the safety room is going to be an interesting one. Tysheem Johnson returns for another year after a hot and cold year, if you will. Mixed success for the Ducks in 2023. I think he really excelled as a tackler, helping defend the run, and then some of the DB pressures, some of the DB blitzes that the coaches drew up for him. He did a great job there, but I don't think he was necessarily at the level that the team needed him to be at when it comes to defending the pass. So he's coming to be back, and then you bring in Kobe Savage from Kansas State out of the transfer portal. He was an all-conference caliber guy, and I think he has a lot of juice in his game. He's got a lot of people excited for what he's going to be able to do. But again, those are only guys that you're going to have for one more season here in Eugene. So college football in some ways has very much become a year-to-year sport, but you need to continue to have longevity and youth that you can lean on at every position, because you never know what's going to happen. And we've seen what happens when you have too much of a reliance on the transfer portal. Doesn't bode well for those programs. So now you also have a couple other guys at that safety spot that you can talk about, safety slash nickel. Brandon Johnson will join the Ducks from Duke for the remainder of spring practice. The Ducks have only had two spring practices, so they have plenty of their spring to get to in April. He comes over via the transfer portal, and that dude looks like he can play. But what do the young guys look like? What does Aaron Flowers look like? What does Kingston Lopa look like? I think Kingston Lopa, you want to try to develop him in the mold of Brian Addison and use him well. And some of the people that I've talked to are telling me that dude's like an athletic freak. So he's someone that I think really flew under the radar and wasn't talked about enough in the 2024 class. Also, Cullen Gill, he's a younger guy in that defensive back room. Also out of the Washington, D.C. area, St. John's College. I don't think a lot of people know too much about him. And then we already talked about DeCambra and Turner. They saw the field a little bit as true freshmen in 2023, but didn't really play serious snaps. I think a lot of that we saw them on the field was really more so in a special teams role. Next topic I'm going to hit on in the 2025 recruiting class for Oregon. How about the offensive line? I think offensive line is a really interesting position to look at, because the Ducks loaded up on a pretty solid haul at the offensive line position in 2024, and they really needed to. I really wasn't overly impressed by what the Ducks were able to do recruiting offensive linemen in the 2023 cycle. I think it was a little bit light and not as much star power as you would necessarily want to see. But Alik Terry comes in his first full cycle with the Ducks, and he gets a lot of really intriguing players here in the 2024 class. Jaquan McRoy out of Pinson, Alabama. Clay Chalkville, he was an Under Armour All-American and kind of a freaky guy in terms of just what he's able to do from an athletic standpoint, how he's able to move. I think you get him with Wilson Love in that weight room, get him coached up, and I think that he could be a problem for the Ducks at the next level. And then you have Fox Crater out of Vancouver, Washington, Evergreen High School. Really liked him. Got to meet him out at the Adidas All-American Bowl. He's a guy who also plays basketball. So when you're thinking about these offensive linemen that the Ducks are going after, the more athleticism, the more bend, and the more strength and mobility, I think that is nothing but good things for the Ducks. Then you have Devin Brooks out of Clackamas and Trent Ferguson out of West Salem to round out the class. The Ducks also brought in Matthew Bedford, from Indiana. And I think he's going to slide in at that right guard spot to replace Steven Jones / Iapani Lalaulu, who is now going to be the team's starting center in 2024. But we're always looking forward with recruiting. And with that, you have to look to the 2025 season because you're going to lose. Who do I just talk about? Matthew Bedford. I think this is his last season. You're going to lose probably, I would think, if he has another good year. Josh Connerly Jr., your left tackle. Marcus Harper II at left guard. And then Ajani Cornelius at right tackle. So Oregon's offensive line should be really, really good again under Alik Terry in 2024. But you're going to be replacing a lot of starters in 2025. And how do you prepare for that? Well, it starts by developing. Development is the key word of the game here for Alik Terry and the rest of that offensive line staff. You got to develop those guys that are already on the roster. Your guys like Dave Ayuli or Kavika Rogers is another young guy that they have along that defensive line, offensive line, excuse me. Janoris Wilson is someone that the Ducks signed in 2023. So there are some young guys that you're going to need to develop and hopefully get some quality snaps this year so that when it comes time to sit down at the drawing board and say, hey, how are we going to replace this offensive line? Who are some of those guys that are standing out for us? I think you want to have some kind of a feeling. George Silva from the junior college ranks, he came to join the Ducks in 2023 from Fullerton College. He's a guy who actually has a lot of basketball background, but what did I just say? The more athletic you can get, the better. So keep an eye on George Silva, and we'll have to see how he continues to develop. I think he's a guy that I'm going to look forward to asking about when I'm out in Eugene for spring ball. And the Ducks have, once again, some really talented names that they're recruiting at offensive line, just to kind of get you guys up to speed and help you keep tabs on some of those names that you got to follow. Josh Petty out of Roswell, Georgia. He is the number two offensive tackle in the country, and he's a huge, huge name. Andrew Babalola out of the state of Kansas, loaded state of Kansas. This cycle, the Ducks are also going after Lincoln Cure and Deson Brame, a really talented tight end duo out of the state of Kansas. Michael Fasusi is an offensive tackle out of Louisville, Texas. And then you also have Aaron Dunn out of Spanish Fork, Utah. The Ducks love to recruit Utah. And I mean, look, they have one of their best success stories along the O-line from the state of Utah in Jackson Powers Johnson, who is going to be a top NFL draft pick after winning the Remington Award. And then who are some other names you got to keep an eye on here? Dimitri Manning out of Bellevue, Washington. I think he's another one to watch out for at tackle. Zaire Addison out of Riverview, Florida, Sumner High School. He is a big name, was recently on campus to see the Ducks. And then Mario Nash will be the last one I tell you, out of DeKalb, Mississippi, Kemper County. Really, really talented lineman who was named MVP at the Under Armour Atlanta camp. So I think that offensive line is going to be another big position that you have to watch there. I'm going to be interested to see what Alik Terry and company can do bringing in the next wave of offensive linemen in Eugene, because the Ducks have really become an offensive line factory of sorts. Last topic of the day, I was talking with Ryan Winter yesterday on my live stream over on the channel, and then obviously I had the podcast out as well, about this defensive line. What is up with Oregon's defensive line? What is it going to look like, rather, in 2024? Who are the names that we need to know? Who's going to take a step forward? Who's going to come in and be like, whoa, that kid's a true freshman? Like, I didn't think he was going to be able to play that well. The Ducks are going to have a very new look defensive line in 2024. And that's to be expected. You lose Brandon Dorlus. You lose Casey Rogers. You lose Popo Amavai and Taki Taimani. But I think for Oregon, I'm really interested in this because they only took one defensive lineman in the transfer portal. That's Houston transfer Jamari Caldwell. He was an all Big 12 caliber guy. And Tosh Lapoy was talking in spring ball a little bit earlier on how they're asking him to do a lot and probably more than what he did at Houston. And I think when you put him next to a guy like a Jordan Birch or a Mateo Uiagalelei, I think he's going to be able to thrive because he's going to be playing probably next to higher caliber talent than maybe what he was used to at Houston. And I think he's going to be a big piece of this defensive line. You want to have a guy who can defend the run, but also get after the passer, get after the quarterback. If you have a guy who can generate a pass rush from the interior, that is something that's going to make your defensive line very dangerous. And it's going to be kind of a youth movement along the D-line, particularly at the interior of the defensive line. Guys like Ben Roberts, who has been in the program a couple years. Amari Washington is a guy I was really excited about coming out of Arizona in the 23 class. Mykel Gardner was someone that I think Casey Rogers was raving about during one of the media availabilities last season. And then you have someone like a Jericho Johnson, an Aiden Breland, a Teon Gray that committed to the Ducks in the 24 class and have been with the team in winter practice. So are any of those guys capable of producing right away or having some kind of a role? Because we really haven't seen too many young guys see a lot of playing time right away. The last one that I think about is Jordan Scott, who was a very underrated recruit. You know, he was like 5'10", 5'11", and definitely north of 300 pounds when he committed the Ducks out of the state of Florida. But he showed up and played right away. But it's definitely a different roster, definitely a different vibe in Eugene, I think, under Dan Lanning defensively than Jordan Scott when he was at Oregon. So the biggest thing that I was kind of comparing this to, I'm not saying this is likely, but I'm also not saying that it isn't likely for Oregon. Look at what the Ducks had to replace along the offensive line from 2022 to 2023. You lost TJ Bass. You lost Ryan Walk. You lost Alex Forsythe. You lost Big Sala. And you lost Adrian Clem to the NFL. So what was the talking point? People were saying, or people were maybe already believing, oh, okay, yeah, you know, Oregon lost a lot of these guys, a lot of these starters, these veteran guys. So it's only natural that you're going to take a step back from 2022 to 2023 along the offensive line. And then Alik Terry said, you know, who cares about all that noise? I'm just going to come in here and coach this group to be a Joe Moore Award finalist. Granted, that was the O-line. We're talking about the D-line. But I don't know that that's such a foregone conclusion, or like that's some kind of a distant possibility. I talked about how Oregon only brought in one defensive lineman in Jamari Caldwell from the transfer portal. Could they add some more via the transfer portal in the spring? Sure. But as of right now, this is what they got. This is what we're working with. So I think that that's kind of telling of where this defensive line is at in terms of some of these young guys that are going to have to step up, or some of these young guys that have been in the program for a while. And it's like, hey, man, we're turning to you now. We need you to get on the field and do something. What are the Ducks going to be able to see from Keon Ware-Hudson? How does he grow from 2023 to 2024? So I think that seeing the caliber of talent in this defensive line room under Tony Tuioti is going to be really fun to watch, because earlier on when Tony Tuioti came in, you saw him bring with him from Nebraska. He brought Casey Rogers. He brought Jordan Riley, and those guys were good. And then Taki Taimani came over from the portal too. So we really haven't seen some of these quote unquote homegrown guys aside from Popo Amavai and Brandon Dorlis. We haven't gotten to see a whole lot of homegrown guys. Some of these were guys that Oregon recruited and, you know, stuck out the process, and they kind of did their time to learn behind these veterans and marinate, as I like to say. I wonder if I'm going to be using that word moving forward. I feel like it's a good word, right? Marinating, getting better behind some of these offensive, behind some of these veteran guys. So I think this group's going to be hungry. I think that a lot of people are probably writing them off. They're looking at that Oregon D line and they're saying, ah, I don't know, they're probably not going to be that great. They lost a lot of guys from last year. That's what the spring's for. The spring is for setting the standard. The spring is for buying in, because that defensive line that we see in the spring game it's going to look a lot different from the spring game to that season opener on, I believe, August 31st against Idaho. So there's just so much talent that's been injected along the defensive line. We haven't even gotten to see a glimpse of it. Not even a glimpse. And part of that is because you had veteran guys that were really, really good and they were ready to help out. And some of these young guys weren't ready to help out. But 2024 is upon us. And my guess is that there's going to be some young guys that are ready to step up. Some other names that we have to keep an eye on: Terrence Green, Ashton Porter, Elijah Rushing, who obviously signed as a five-star recruit in the 2024 class. I already said Jaden Moore. I'm sure there's some that I'm forgetting about, but I want to make sure that they get a shout out because I love covering recruiting. So I feel like I should know this a little bit better. But other defensive linemen to keep an eye on: Johnny Bowens, who used to be a Texas A&M commit, but ended up at Oregon. There's a lot of really talented guys here. So I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what this defensive line looks like, because we know Dan Lanning knows the importance of winning at the line of scrimmage and generating a consistent pass rush. That's going to be a huge focus for this group, because they took a big step forward in 2023, but you can't look at it and say, oh, hey, we got better from 22 to 23. Now we're just going to get complacent. It's like, no, now you're challenged with matching what you were in 2023 and then getting even better. I don't care if you lost players from your team. The standard doesn't change, and you got to keep pushing forward. So I'm excited to see what the defensive line looks like at Oregon in 2024. Are they going to be able to make that leap similar to what we saw from the offensive line from 2022? To 2023. I think the talent's there. I think the coaches are there. Now we just got to see what they can do the rest of this spring. That's going to do it on today's episode of the podcast. Make sure to lock in with me on social media. I am at MTorres Sports on Twitter and Instagram is where you can find me. Subscribe to the channel at Oregon Football Max Torres. Ask a mailbag question. Leave me a comment and let me know what you're thinking about Oregon football recruiting. I want to get your guys' questions integrated into the show. I do it for you guys, the fans. So leave a comment and ask a question to maybe be featured on a future episode. And then you can read me on Ducks Digest and share the show, share the Ducks Dish podcast with your friends, with your family, and with other Duck fans. But until next time, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate all of your support, taking some time out of your day to talk some Duck football with me. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Ducks Dish podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.